Yes, we can hear you. So
perfect.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. So this is joint work with Martin again on learning strategy designs and on some first experiments in this direction. So when using an automated theorem prover, you want to plug in a logical formula and get the result set or unset. So however, automated theorem provers like Vampire under the hood have a myriad of buttons and switches that control the strategy that is applied to the problem. And the choice of this strategy can have considerable crucial impact on whether the prover succeeds or not. So it would be nice to detect a beneficial strategy or to learn a beneficial strategy automatically. Now in this talk, I will briefly report on three experiments that we did in this direction. First, we looked at the 801 strategies that Vampire applied in CASK 27, and we tried to predict one of those strategies for a given problem. Secondly, we tried to disassemble these strategies in some way and tried to correlate problem features with option values that make up these strategies. And thirdly, because we already had the data about all the features just for fun, we tried to correlate problem features with the success of other CASK tools, because in fact, maybe another tool than Vampire, say E, would be more beneficial for any given problem. Okay, so this is the outline. This all started because Martin collected tons of data that was obtained by running Vampire for 60 seconds on all the 17,000 first order problems in TPTP 720, using all these 801 strategies that are used by Vampire in CASK 27. However, Vampire, of course, not uses all of those strategies on every problem, but it applies scheduling to select a beneficial subset. Okay. Now, in order to explain the features that we use, let me remind you how a TPTP problem looks like. So a TPTP problem file contains, apart from the logical formulas that you see on the bottom, also some meta information like the number of clauses, the number of predicates, the term depth, etc., that was counted by Geoff. And in addition, there is also a domain associated with this problem. In this case, it's puzzles, but it could also be group theory or ring theory. There is a source, which is a source of, that relates to a piece of literature. And there is a rating, which is a rational number between 0 and 1, where 0 means that it's solved by any prover, basically, and 1 that it's unsolvable. Okay, so with this in mind, let me explain the problem features that we use. So we collected all the problem properties that are listed in TPTP or that are evaluated by Vampire, which includes the number of clauses, the number of predicates, variables, whether it's an EPR problem, whether it has sorts, the average term depth, etc. Moreover, we experiment with three features that you could call somewhat cheating, namely the domain, the source, and the rating that come from the TPTP file. Moreover, we used three handcrafted features, namely the number of unifiable positive and negative literals, the number of terms that match a non-variable equation site, if there are equations, and in this case, also the number of terms that are unifiable with these equations. So in this way, we obtained 98 features per problem. Now, for the first experiment, we tried to answer the question, given a problem with certain properties, which strategy of those 801 Vampire strategies works best? And moreover, which problem features are decisive in this respect? So we try to predict the runtime given a set of features where if a strategy times out on a problem, we assign a timeout penalty of 300 seconds. So recall that the timeout is only 60 seconds, so 300 was chosen to be a lot bigger. So we use random forest regressors to predict this runtime in a regression. And we split the TPTP problems that we had into rating balanced training and test sets. So 80% training, 20% test. Now, for every strategy of that was used by Vampire, we trained the regressor using a bunch of features F in the training phase and in the test phase. For every problem in the test set, we predict the runtime for each of those 801 strategies, and we recommend for this problem the strategy that has the lowest predicted runtime. And then to decide how effective this prediction is, we count how many test problems are solved by the recommended strategies. Now, these are the results that we get for different feature sets. So we had 3,500 problems in the test set. If we use all the features that I mentioned beforehand, then we can solve 2,500 of those problems. If we omit these cheating features, the TPTP features, then we can solve only some percent less. But what we found interesting is that if we try to predict a good strategy from a single value, then what works best is the source of the problem. So the piece of literature where this problem actually comes from. The three following columns are the other single features that work best to predict the strategy. So the number of terms, the domain, and the rating. So to compare this, to a kind of baseline is given by the Vampire default strategy, where it doesn't apply scheduling. In this case, it solves about 2,000 problems. So this is not the Vampire that is running Kask, but I think it serves as a fair baseline because it does not apply multiple strategies, but just one. So in comparison, I think we suggest a reasonable strategy. All right, now we further looked into feature importance. These are the top 12 features that are most important for these predictions. So we see many usual suspects like the number of terms, the number of variables, the number of atoms. But what also became apparent that these handcrafted features that are supposed to capture interaction, like the number of unifiable positive and negative literals, the number of terms unifiable with equations, they contribute together almost 12%, which I think is non-negligible. And yeah, what also became is obvious that size is an important issue, as everybody would have expected, I guess. So here we have the number of terms, the number of variables, the number of atoms, connectives, functions, and many more that somehow refer to size. Another thing that is maybe a side remark and not so interesting to predict the strategy, but it occurred to me when I did this evaluation that the regression quality does not correspond to the prediction power, because if we look at the R-square value for these regressions, which is a common measure for the quality of the regression, then if we use all features, we get 0.7. If we use the source only, we get 0.3, the rating only 0.4. However, as we see above, the rating is actually much worse than the source to predict a successful strategy. And this is, of course, you might say, because the rating is a good indicator whether a problem can be solved at all. So we can predict many timeouts using the rating, but we are not so good at predicting a specific strategy that works. Okay, so much for the first experiment. Now, so far, we only considered these fixed 801 strategies that are used by Vampire anyway. It would be more interesting, you might say, to assemble new strategies, and to work in this direction, we looked at the correspondences between problem features and parameter values of strategies. So a strategy in Vampire is given by a set of pairs of an option O and a value V. Now, here we just compare the probability that a problem with a certain feature can be solved by a strategy with option O set to value V to two things. First of all, the probability that an arbitrary strategy solves a problem with this feature. And this we call the advantage ratio, And secondly, we compare the probability that such a strategy solves a problem with this feature to the strategy that to the probability that a strategy where O is said to be solves an arbitrary problem. And this we call here the surprise ratio. Because if the strategy setting O to V is in general very good, then there is nothing surprising. So this was the intention. Okay, so on the next slide, I collected some of these correspondences that we found, and they are listed in tables that look like this one. Here, I just want to point out how they are supposed to be read. So here we have a feature, an option, and a value. The advantage ratio, the surprise ratio, and the number of problems that have this feature. So in this case, this means that on EPR problems, a strategy that sets H weight to 50 is 11% more likely to solve such a problem than an arbitrary strategy. And moreover, H weight 50 is on EPR 15% better than it is usually. Okay, so this was just for an example. Now what we found is that the strongest correlations, again, appear with the source. So even if you look only at sources that occur reasonably often, then there are 390 correlations where a certain option value has more than 30% advantage. So here are some examples. The column on the left lists some sources. The second column lists some option values. So this refers to the saturation algorithm, for instance, and the H weight ratio. And Martin can explain you all the other options. So we see that here actually a strategy that has this property has more than 50% more probability to solve a problem from this source than other strategies, even if they don't solve many problems in general. Okay. Now, source correlations are maybe not such a good indicator, so we now look at correspondences with other properties. So another thing that that became apparent is that such correlations identify fragile options. So there are some options like H-weight ratio, where an entire range is beneficial for a certain problem. Whereas other options are fragile, so only one particular value works for problems from a certain class. So this was something we found interesting. And now here is a list of other correlations that we found. And let me just add some comments to that. So two classes of problems where we noticed many correlations are EPR and UEQ, so the Bernays-Schoenfinkel fragment and unit equality. So they have a preference for a particular saturation algorithm, for a particular H weight limit, but also for some other properties. For instance, this NWC equals 3 means that for UEQ, it's better to focus on conjecture-derived clauses by assigning a penalty weight to all the other clauses. So this would be 13% better here, for instance. Then we found some correlations for problems with many constants for a particular H-weight ratio, but also for a certain equation processing mode. So for instance, for many constants, it makes more sense to use lighter equational reasoning. So this RST value means that no congruence is used. Yeah, and we found a couple of those correlations. The data is on the website, I will mention later. However, we also found some correlations that are less easy to explain. For instance, if there are many variables in a clause, so here this value 183 is just the average of the variables per clause, the maximum variables per clause in a problem. So for these problems, and there are 180 of those, it apparently pays off to use a less aggressive limited resource strategy. Another thing that we found is that, for instance, for unit equality, eager inequality splitting is more beneficial. Okay, now finally, One could also wonder, okay, maybe I shouldn't use Vampire at all. Maybe for my problem, it would be more beneficial to use E. So we correlated problem features with the tools that can solve problems with this feature best. So we compared the probability that a problem with feature F can be solved by a tool T to, on the one hand, the probability that another tool solves problems with these features, and secondly, that this tool solves arbitrary problems. And this we call overperformance. So this should express that a tool performs better on a certain class of problems than it does in general. Okay, so maybe not so surprisingly, we found that Vampire really prevails on many classes of problems. So for a change, we listed here some problem classes where Vampire does not prevail. For instance, for problems that have reals and for problems with interpreted equality, CVC4 is better. But also, somewhat strangely maybe, for problems that have more than 54, that is more than average number of positive axioms, Leo3 works better. And for certain sources, versions of E work better. Again, this is not a complete list. This is just to give an impression. And we also found many cases of overperformance. For instance, as to be expected, iProver overperforms on EPR, but also C3 and superposition do. On the other hand, versions of EEP overperform on unit equality. Okay, so to sum up, we did some number crunching to find the correlations between problem features and successful strategies or strategy components. Using regression, we were able to predict a reasonably good strategy out of a fixed set, and this also gives some idea of relevant features, like, well, size was probably obvious, interference didn't work so badly, but also TPTB characteristics, if they could be used, like the source, then they are highly significant, as a fun fact. Yeah, finally, we used the features that we already had to also identify problem clusters where other tools than Vampire prevail. So this data is available on the website, as well as the TPTB problem feature, features in a JSON file. Now for future investigations, many things would be interesting. So far we only correlated features, so single features of a problem with a single option value. But of course, what might be influential is actually the combination of multiple features and also the combination of multiple option values. Next, I think it would make sense to play with dimensionality reduction, because currently we have many features, for instance, that somehow capture size, but probably we would not need all of them. And then what would be really super interesting, but it hasn't received so much attention yet, I think, is to use such analysis to build good strategy schedules. So because all ATPs use actually strategy scheduling, so they don't apply a single strategy, but they combine strategies for different amounts of time, such that, well, to aim at that at least one strategy works. Okay, so this was it. And if you have further suggestions or questions or remarks, I would be happy to hear them. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Any questions?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would like to ask about the handcrafted features that you added. Are they cheap to compute?
Yes, not necessarily. So actually, we approximated them. So for the small problems, I really used unification, but for the large problems, this is totally infeasible. So I think for very large problems, I only looked at the root symbols. But I think already those are quite useful, and they are easy and cheap to compute.
Okay, Stefan.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I missed the first half of the talk. I had the lecture. I found this very interesting, and I wonder, will you have a full paper on that out soon, where I can catch up on what I've missed?
No, not that I know of. But maybe we can address this, yes?
We've got this recorded, right? So maybe I can look at the recording. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. One question I tend to ask, when you ran E, which mode did you use? Did you use auto mode?
Yes, I think yes, we used auto mode.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. I've had more than one frustrating experience where they reported 8,000 solutions for Vampire and 4,000 for E, and then it turned out they didn't turn on E's features.
Okay.
But if you use auto mode, all is fine. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so maybe a question about this good strategy schedules. So you are already predicting somehow how good is a given strategy, so how likely it is to solve a problem. Is this already something that you can immediately try for selecting a few of the best ones if the first one is not much higher than the other ones? And if so, is there some way to measure complementarity between strategies?
Yes, I think the complementarity measure would be something that would be really interesting, because I don't want to suggest obviously three strategies that are super similar. Do you have any ideas how to measure? I mean, yeah, we can just take the cross product, I guess.
So I mean, there has been some research done by Josef and his group on Blister and related tools that were doing this kind of thing. So I would search there, but maybe Josef can comment.
Oh well, I'm not sure, but I had a sort of question. So you know, when we do like Hammers, the major issue is that there are redundant premises. And so because of that, we have created minimized data sets. Like we have this like Mizar 40 data set with Cesare, which we know that basically there are no redundant premises there. So I'm wondering, it might be interesting to compare what you do with TPDP, where we have thrown a lot of these Mizar and Isabel and whole problems with many redundant premises with a minimized data set, where we know that there are no redundant premises, and when you do this very like syntactic features like number of formulas or number of symbols, they might be really hard to use when you have many redundant premises in the problem. So that would be like one experiment.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Any more questions, comments? If not, then let's thank Sarah again, and let's head for a coffee break.
Thank you.